And Mother Teresa, how she was seeing like people misfortunate and dying, she was like that in her mind, like this ain't right, and she cleaned them up and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like out of respect, like she didn't even probably she didn't know them. She's in a different country, like she had a lot of heart and love and sympathy. Like this ain't right. You know what I mean? Like by cleaning them, like that is like a lot of love and showing a lot of sympathy. Just off the top of my mind, everybody don't have to answer, but there's one or two answers. Like, what is it? Like, I heard a lot of answers about our great-grandparents. What is it, like, about y'all think about, like, that generation, like, that made them, y'all saying, the great? Because we all almost share the same answer. My answer is the same thing. My grandma, my mom, but my grandma, like, that love for anybody she had. Like, she was up on Taylor Street. She didn't care who it was. Just like, you hungry? Like, I don't see that a lot no more. People asking, you know, you hungry? Your friend hungry? Like, really, what is it? We all kind of have similar answers. What do y'all think that, like, made them great and that we don't have now? Like, but Justin.
We got too much of the internet where we're not involved person to person.
Good answer. That's real good. I like that. I like that right there. Distraction. I like that. Anything, anybody else just or something on your mind? What do you think like made them so great compared to us now? Like
selfishness.
Selfishness? Yeah. Nice answer. Distraction, selfishness. Yep. Nice.
People nowadays kind of feel entitled to things.
Like me.
Yeah.
Like they're saying like me. Okay. Nice. Yeah. Selfishness, distraction. Me. Yep. 80s, 90s, 2000s. Yep. Made a big difference in the world.
Yep. I think a lot of it has to do with gratefulness. They remember where they came from. Remember how life was for them way back. And see what they
powerful.
And when you're grateful,
man, powerful.
All by itself.
Powerful. And what comes to mind, like when you said that, grateful, because in their times, like they knew what it was. Like someone said, hard work. Like, I think, you know, me myself, compared to, I see with my great-grandpa and them, like, I'm spoiled. You know what I mean? I could get work anywhere. But they really had to work hard, and work wasn't coming like that. So maybe that, you know what I mean? They had that different type of mindset, like, being grateful, you know, for food and all that, and showed that love to others. That's powerful, though. One thing that came to mind, too, for a great man, what I like, Martin Luther King, you know, I think about him and Gandhi and different people, how that servant, you know what I mean? Like there wasn't a whole lot in it for them, and like most of us said, we think about me, but they seem like they didn't think so much about themselves, even to the point of death. You know what I mean? A lot of them didn't really fear that because they were just trying to see the good for us, you know, for the future. That's what I think of a great man. But okay, everybody's answer was great. I feel like I got a lot of wisdom out of that just from asking y'all all that. And one quote I would like to share, just to sum it up, that could work in and through us. I forgot who quoted it, but this girl says, I stand as one, but I come as 10,000. I heard that quote, and I always stuck with me because she was like saying, I stand as one person, but I come as like 10,000 generations behind me. Like deep roots and deep pain. And if it wasn't for your great-great-grandpa and whatever he did to survive that air, you wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? None of us. There's probably a lot of things that happened that is so profound and out of y'all mind that if that night didn't happen, y'all would never be here, or your parents. The integrity or the fight that they had to go through and endure. But when I hear that quote, you know, I stand as one, but I come as 10,000. It reminds me like being grateful for where you came from. You know, try to look back at your great grandparents with who y'all said was great and try to be grateful and thankful every day. Like, dang, they probably had it worse than where we had it from. One thing I want to share, now we brought Martin Luther King up. This guy said, Eric Thomas said, what makes it different from us today compared to him? Like, there was, like, since he was, like, so-called, like, famous or something, he could have been on Gatorade sponsorships and all this, you know, for his community and shine and all that. But there was, like, he didn't have opportunity. He said, you know what he had? He said he had people ready to beat him down, lock him up, kill him. You know what I mean? The world at that time was against them, but us were free. He said, so you guys have opportunity. You know what I mean? Compared to our past generations, it's like, keep that in mind. You know, y'all have opportunity for change and to create change, not just with us, but those who come after us. our children, our children's children. So just want to encourage us, you know, with that quote, let's try to strongly make a difference, you know, not just for ourselves and not thinking of ourselves like just me, you know what I mean, but who comes after me, who's watching, your little cousins, you know, your granddaughter, that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not always about us. Let's strive hard. Keep that in mind after we leave this service to not so much think about me, but those who are coming after me, those who are watching. Let's think of less of self and try to make a difference for someone else. That difference may impact their kids' kids, you know, and things will get back to the way they're supposed to be, like our great grandparents. You know what I mean? That era was so profound. When you think about that time and my grandma, like, it was a lot of harmony and love all in that house or that block. You know what I mean? I know a lot of y'all have a lot of those memories, like a lot of love. And now he hit it on a point too, a lot of distraction. Even with myself, I see myself getting out of rhythm through business, you know what I mean? Email, all that type stuff. And like, and I would examine myself even a couple of weeks ago. I was like, get back, Jose, slow down, be still. You know what I mean? Wake up, read your word, like calm down. But a lot of us, he hit on the money, are distracted. You know, so distracted where even I had to almost set an appointment for my daughter or sons or, you know what I mean? Trying to make time, you know what I mean? Because I'm fulfilling my time, because what it's all about me, what I want to do. You know what I mean? We're being distracted of how, what we want to do and not looking at anything else. But I just want to share that. But I came today to share a story. I'll try to make it really quick. It's in 1 Samuel, and it's about a young man named David. Hey, yeah.
Before you start with your story, I wanted to go back to your question.
Okay, go ahead.
I think the reason why now, like your mom, you said your mother, and she'll feed anybody in the neighborhood. I can attest to that because the first day she saw me coming, you want to eat? And every time I go over there, she, hey, it's a plate ready.
Yeah.
Which me, if I'd have saw me coming, I'd have been like, whoa, 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 not that one. He looked like he can do too much.
You're going to clear the fridge out.
Don't bring that one back here. But I think now also, especially in today's world, I think the love is not there because of fear. We're so scared to let people in like that, because on the news you hear story after story about I go to help somebody, and in the process of me helping them, giving, I get shot and killed and robbed. You know what I'm saying? I know a guy. I went to school with a guy. His family was homeless. And this man, his name was Dunn Brown. He had acres, and he brought that family in, and like, y'all can live here till you get on your feet. To the point, they had kids, and when their kids had kids, he was in that generation. So they been there. And as he got older, long story short, he ended up robbing and killing the man who helped like two or three generations of his family. And I think Satan has had his way with this world so much that we're so terrified of each other. Like, we want to be like, man, I want to help him, and I want to bring him into my home. But man, if I do that, what, you know, so I think the fear aspect, we're so afraid of each other, it's hard to love each other. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good answer too. I like that. Yep. Yep. For sure. Thank you, D1. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see where I want to start off at. Okay, there was a king named Saul, and basically he's about to get taken out of his position. And one reason why he did that is because God told him, he sent him to a place, he goes, I want you to take all these goods, destroy all that, everything there, destroy it, handle the business. He went there and he saved all the good stuff in that land, you know, all stuff that was worth value, because he said that he was going to come back and sacrifice it to God. So when he came back, basically, that's what he said. He was like, you know, I say, he was like, why you disobey? Why you take out everything? He was like, because I'm saving the good stuff for you to sacrifice. But come to find out, well, so the prophet said to obey is better than sacrifice. That's what the prophet told this king, to obey. You know, obey God is better than sacrifice. And basically, what the truth finally came out, and the king said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instruction. Key word right here. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. That's what demoted him from being king. He stopped listening to God because he said he was afraid of the people. So that's why he did what he did. So now God's going to look for a new king. And he told the prophet, you know, there was a dude named, I believe, Jesse. He's like, bring some of your sons over. One of them going to be king. So a couple sons came. I think he had like four, maybe three of them came. And then the prophet looked at him and was like, oh, man, this one probably going to be him right here. He must have been real fit and up to par. And God was like, no, that one's not it. That's not him. And I like what, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. He's talking about this other one. You're like, don't consider that. It's if I rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Powerful. That's really powerful. So you already see where God's going with it. He's like, you know, I'm not looking for someone real fit, tall, all this. He said, I'm looking at the heart. So they're still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he was tending the sheep. So because the prophet was like, well, is there any more? Because God said one of these, your family going to be the king. He's like, there's one more, but he's tending the sheep. And I read that. I was like, then what was he doing? What does that mean, tending the sheep? He out there, he's serving. You know what I mean? Everybody else on the front line, this dude tending, he taking care of something. You know, he's taking care of the flock, the sheep. So right there, showing me like that's a servant attitude. And Proverbs, it says, be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your herd. So be diligent as a king or a shepherd or a family man. Be diligent to know the state of everybody that's going around and then attend to them. That's a true shepherd or a true king. You know what I mean? Knowing your flock, knowing your family. Be diligent. He's saying strive hard to know what each individual is going through in your family, whoever, your friend, anybody that's around you. You know what I mean? Your group of friends. And then attend to them. So that's a servant mindset. So he tending the sheep. You know what I mean? Everybody else on the front line. So I like that. Let's go on. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. I know a lot of people ask, like, when was David king? I forgot the answer. But to me, like, when he got anointed, like, this is the chosen one to me. Even though he was a young man at that time, I don't know how long it took him to become king, years, 13 years. But to me, when that prophet anointed him, like, this is the one, I feel like, it said, from that time on, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him with power. I was like, to me, you know, as a young man, he's in that position now. It's already destined. Like, he's king. I like that. So right there, that little paragraph right there is showing me God looking at the heart. You know, this kid out there serving. You know what I mean? Your great-grandma's, Martin Luther King, what he doing? You know, how you be a great man, great woman. What they doing? They serving. And Jesus said, what did he say? The greatest of y'all should be a servant to all. What is that quote? Something like that. The greatest of y'all, so whoever wanted to be great must be a servant to all. So that just kind of showing where the heart should be if y'all want to become great. And y'all mentioned that as a great woman and great people, that to me what I heard, a lot of them serving. That servant, you know, empowering y'all, touching y'all lives, touching y'all friends, family. So that first part was about the heart. The second part I put in, it said God put him in a position. David. Let me go on. Okay, so the king, he's getting tormented by evil spirit. The king's starting to get tormented now. And one of the servants was like, look, you need someone to come play the harp for you. You're going to feel better. Play this instrument. You're going to feel better. And then the king said, find someone who could play it and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. So I feel like, you know, everybody got gifts. You know, everybody got gifts. And this kid, well, he probably didn't even know it at the time. He was playing a harp. And at that time, God was going to put him in position, which he probably been playing a harp for a long time. But at this particular time, God's going to put him in that position where the harp is so necessary to bring this young man in the presence of a king. He's going to put, you know what I mean? Because that's what the king needed. And then someone else seen it. It was like, oh, I seen him. He did that. He do cable. He did that. Or he did that. You know what I mean? He does carpet. I seen him. You might not know him, but someone else is witnessing that. I seen him. So he's the one that presented him to the king. He's like, well, bring him here. He does that, bring him over here. So I thought that was like really good how God could use your gift no matter what you're in. It could be the least of gift. Like him, he's playing a harp, and it's going to bring him in the presence of a king at that time. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who was with the sheep. I like that. He was with the sheep again, still serving. Let's see here. Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul into the war. So now the three oldest ones, they must be mature, physical appearance, great soldiers. They're the first three. They're in the war with Saul. This is what I like too. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend the father's sheep in Bethlehem. So he's still tending the sheep. You know what I mean? Going back and forth. Why these guys? So at this time, before I go any further, a war took place. I think between the Philistines or someone, a big old war is taking place. That's why the three oldest sons went to war with the king. It's a big war going on now. Now Jesse, son of David, the dad told David, you know what I mean? Basically, he's still serving. So it's like, go take your brother some food and whatnot. So he's still serving. He took his brother some food. David heard it. When Israel saw the man, they ran. Okay, so as David went to go take him some food, there was a Goliath. If y'all heard of that story, he's talking, you know, I'm gonna kill everybody, do this and this, and David heard that. I like that. He was listening. He heard that. After that, David asked the men standing here, he was like, who's this dude? What's going on here? David didn't hear about it. You know, he's asking questions. And somebody actually heard David asking these questions. That's another thing, you know, like the witness of people. He was like, man, he heard, like, why is this dude asking these questions? He went back to tell the king, another dude. He's like, look, there's this young man over here asking questions, talking about what kind of reward he's going to get if you take this dude out. And they was like, well, who's that man? Bring him over here. Why are you asking so many questions? And he got the king's attention, is what I like. You know what I mean? Through somebody else, you know, by asking questions, got the king's attention. That really struck me, asking questions. And there's a quote that says, seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be given to you. You know what I mean? That take part from us. You know, seeking and asking, job, whatever, wife, husband. It says, seek and you shall find. But when he says seek, he ain't talking about that seek like you lost a quarter in the yard and you're going to look for it. Compare you or lost a diamond or a ring. You know what I mean? You're going to really seek for that. So he says, seek and you'll find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Okay, so he got the king's attention. But one thing I want to share real quick, when he was talking, you know, asking all these questions, his brothers always looked down at him, and he was like, you know, what you out here for? Why are you asking so many questions? And he was like, man, can I even speak? You know, they was already like disregarding him, because they looked down on him. So David got presented to the king, and he said, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. So he's speaking in faith. He said, you know, I'll go fight him. I'll fight him. And Saul replied and said, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man since his youth. So David speaks faith, and the world or the enemy is like, nah, you can't do that. You're on house arrest. You're on work lease. You're a felon. You came from a terrible background. Don't even think about it. You know how many people out here is in better position than you? Like, don't even think about it. You can't. That's a king telling them this. Like, nah. Disregard it. And what I like about David, I think he spoke faith. He said, I could do it. And the king rejected. Like, nah, you can't. Nah, you ain't fit for that. This is powerful because this is what he did. He shared his testimony. And I believe everybody here got a testimony. You know what I mean? You speak to yourself or you speak to the enemy, your coworkers, but always share your testimony. No one can take that testimony from you. What God has done in your life, nobody could do that. So when the time comes, use that. And that's your strength and power. And watch what God could do. You know, he says that we overcome a lot from the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. You know, he's giving us that hint. You know what I mean? Y'all came from a lot. Share your story. You know, you're changing. So that's what he did. He got rejected. And he shared his testimony to the king. He said, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came, I carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it, struck it, and rescued this sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defined the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.
Amen.
Testimony. You know, like, you don't know what I've been through. You know, you don't know what I've been through. I'm going to share that with you. And after he shared that, the king said, go and the Lord be with you. Now he granted it to him. Now the opportunity came. You know, I thought that was very profound, because I looked at this story so many times and never looked at it like that. How he got the king's attention, how he spoke faith, he got rejected, then boom, he shared that testimony. Then he got the green light. I was like, that's powerful. That was powerful. Let me see. Okay, so the rest of the story, you know, a lot of us know, you know, how the Goliath came and spoke the same thing, spoke defeat on him. You're just a young kid, this and this, this. But one thing that even if the army didn't know, that they might have looked at David a certain way, like, how in the world this dude's going to beat that big guy? You know, like this is going to be a tough, probably not even a tough fight. Like, this might be a disgrace that the king sent them out there. But one scripture that comes to mind is what man, or with you, or with you, or with you, it may seem impossible. What man, what woman, things seem impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Never count him out. You know what I mean? That's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the greatest of all greats. With him, all things are possible. And he overcame, you know what I mean? Overcame that giant. He can overcome giants in your lives, the mountains that's interfering in your lives, whatever you might be going through, bring it to him and know that everything is possible. Even no matter what you say, what man, with you, it might seem impossible. No way. But with God, you acknowledge him, he could turn things around. He's done that plenty of times in my life, and I'm sure on some of y'all lives. When it looked like no way, he made a way. And I want to share another this testimony. I'm done with the story. This guy I met at the gym, his name's Bob. He's a firefighter, about 50 years, but Christian, 33 years. I remember one thing he shared with me like 2 days ago. He was like, when your back is against the wall, he said sometimes, and you don't have nowhere to go, sometimes there's only one way to go. He's like, that's God. So I'm gonna share a little testimony with him, what he went through. In August, he caught COVID. This man, 66 years old, he caught COVID. He went to the hospital. In 3 weeks, he lost 40 pounds, getting in real bad shape. Like I say, he's a good man, 33 years Christian, 50 years fire department, and went to the hospital, lost 40 pounds. They put him on a ventilator, and he had a heart attack. He had a heart attack while on the ventilator. He came out of that, and he heard the doctors talking, and he told his wife, like, I heard what they said. You know, like, at my age, it's not looking good, you know. And his wife was like, don't talk like that. And he started preparing, you know, telling her things like, look, get this stuff ready. And this was recent. He's like, get this stuff in order. This is the stuff I didn't tell you to do and this. After that, he had that heart attack. He was still on a ventilator, then his lung collapsed from like kidney failure or something. So he was really starting to go downhill. One thing that was profound, one of his stories, that one of the ladies at the church prayed for him and was like, I pray for Bob that he has a vision or some kind of visitation. And Bob was like, I want to share that with you. So he said that he was in that room in that time on a ventilator, and his wife was only there, and he looked to the right and he seen a man like 7 foot tall, you know, in a robe. And he said, I felt like it was an angel. So I said, I told my wife, like, who's the man? And the wife was like, you know, there's no man, but when he comes back, I'll let you know who he is. And he looked again, and he was like, no, he's still there. And then his wife she's a Christian, so she was like, maybe he's seeing something, you know? But I thought, I was like, man, how God could work up until this day. I'm talking to this man at the gym the other day, and this man literally probably seen an angel. I believe he did. Like, present, you know what I mean, real life story. Like, and I believe Bob, you know, he's 66, you know, he had this glow and this teary eye, you know what I mean, and sharing a lot of stories about the angel and about the value of a man. And he said he didn't realize, like, about how much value he had until he had like 300 letters coming in from kids and old ladies and people's stories that he never remembered. You know, old lady coming like, you said this, you saved this, you know, during this fire. And it just blessed his heart, like, you know, to see that that God was confirming that he's been on the right track all along. I was like, man, that's beautiful, Bob, man. God bless you. I pray with him. And I was like, just share a little more with me. And he was like, you know, I didn't have no fear of death at that time in the hospital bed. You know, I didn't have no fear of death. But he said, and what I like, he kept it real. He said, but I fought like a tiger to stay alive. I was like, ooh, that's almost like a twofold. That's powerful. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't afraid to die. But he said, I fought like hell. I fought to stay alive, though. I was like, okay, like I actually wrote that down because I never heard it that way. Like, you know, he fights so hard to stay alive, but he wasn't afraid to die. Okay, so he was dropping jewels on me, and what scripture came to mind I shared with him after we prayed out was like, it said the silver is for the refining pot, and gold for the furnace, and it said a man is valued of what others say of him. So how gold's tested gets put through the fire, I guess, to see how valuable it is. It said, but with a man, it says what others say of him is the value of him. And like what y'all said of a great man or great woman today, what others are saying, my great grandma, what she do, did this. Like at the end, you know, that's what really counts. And like one of y'all say, it's not money or nothing else. Y'all ain't none of y'all mention money. I want to ask y'all about a great man or woman. I ain't hear that one once. That's crazy, right? Not once. Ain't no one said nothing about money. It was all about servant, my grandma, showing love, you know, mama house, all that. So that scripture I want to end with, how it says the gold is for the furnace, the silver is for refining pot, and a man or woman is valued by what others say of him. What is your kids, your grandchildren saying about y'all? What kind of reflection are we reflecting? Examine ourselves, you know what I mean, and try to do better, not just for ourselves, but for others, you know what I mean? That same power that your grandma had and that blood is running through you deep. And they went through it. I don't know y'all grandparents, but I know they went through it. You know what I mean? They had the heart of tigers, you know what I mean? Hard working woman and father, let's not let them down. We still live on through them. You know what I mean? Let's not let them down. Let's continue to build ourselves up and grab their strength. Like that quote said, I come as one. I stand as one, but I come as 10,000. That's how we got to look at it. There are many actions and many sacrifices been made for y'all to be right here, exactly where y'all at. Many. So let's not let them down. And I want to end with one scripture, and then we'll pray out. It said, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He even laid down his life. So he's the greatest one of all. But Lyle, you want to lay us out in a prayer? But we got one right here. We got time. Yep.
When we go to pray, especially Brother Lyle, I met a lady today. I told her I was faithful. A woman of God, loved Jesus. She had been through Corona.
Was basically homeless. But when I say homeless, I don't want to say she didn't have a home. She had a son that was down in Fort Bragg, newly married, and didn't want to be a burden on them. Mm. So she's out at the campground. We've been going camping the last few weeks. Been out for 2 days, even 3 days. We're just relaxing, getting away. And when she stepped to me, she didn't know she was a songwriter. She used to write songs down in Nashville. When she came to me, she came with God.
Amen.
Amen. The love she showed. She gave me a hardbound book about Jesus. I just met her. We woke up that morning and she reached and came to us. And she was a musician. She grabbed a guitar, came out, and I said, you're too early, I'm too late. Because I'm a musician.
Oh, wow.
And she had a song she had made about God, Jesus. She pulled a guitar, I started playing. I'm a percussionist. I started beating on the people too. But what caught me was the fact that she
him so much love.
Mm.
Wasn't worried about the situation because, you know, some of us have been homeless. Even though this woman didn't have a set home, she had no worry. No worry, no complaint. We're fine. We live. She made a comment. I wish I could give y'all some money for more money. Our tent was three times as big as that.
Wow.
But it was just the love and how she came. And she had God. There was no doubt that you couldn't see that. She had God. Then through Corona, first the hurricane took her out of Florida. Then she caught Corona. Why did she have Corona have a stroke? And here's this woman that was happy as any one of us that has everything.
That's powerful.
My big bound book on God, I can't remember the book, on Jesus. Yeah. And I got it in front of my man right now.
Amen.
And I told her, I said, you know what, we go to a Christian-based meeting. She said, well, I can tell you I'm a Christian. She said, I said, when I get there, I'm going to make sure to pray for you.
Amen.
To me, this is a congregation.
Amen.
And I am only here through the power of prayer. My grandparents that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
My aunts and uncles. So, when we pray, her name is Maddie.
What's her name?
Marty.
Yep.
So, I would like us to reach out and pray for her because I told her we would.
Amen.
And that's why I'm saying, because I told her I would.
All right, we'll keep going prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to the throne of grace, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and for all that you've been for us, Father. We thank you for your loving kindness and your forgiveness. We thank you for the words that you sent through your humble servant on this day. We thank you for Marty and people like Marty, Father God, who
have
come to spread the word, Father God. It's not about riches and wealth, Lord, but it's about the gratitude for what you've done in their lives, Father God. We ask, Lord, that you be with each and every one of us as we go home tonight, Father. Let our homes be in peace, Lord, and bring us back at the appointed time. We'll be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.